What?
They never hooked up.
Wait, I feel like our friend would reference like sleeping over at Sarah Waterbottle's place.
They would.
What?
But nothing happened.
Oh my God. How long did this go on for?
I don't know. But then Sarah Waterbottle ended up dating her best friend.
Hello. Welcome back to Under Our Roof.
My name is Grace, or Semler, depending on how you know me.
I'm Lizzie. And we are coming to you live, actually not live, but right now we're live.
Mm-hmm.
We've
always been alive when we've recorded the podcast.
We are coming to you from Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. We're on a little trip.
We are having a baby moon, but we couldn't not bring you with us. We have really, really appreciated y'all's patience. Someone tweeted something at me about how these interim episodes, like the voice note era of Under Our Roof, has been enjoyable for them as we are in this transitional period of life. And I really valued that opinion, and it was very validating to hear because we have just been up in the air. Our life has kind of been up in the air, but we're bringing you with us for every step that we're not taking because we're up in the air. So we're bringing you with us for like when Mario is like jumping midair.
Yeah.
Kind of feels like that's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We will be landing eventually. And I think maternity leave is going to feel so sweet for that reason. But for now, we are in Mexico having an incredible time. I love it here. I've been here before, but Cabo has been awesome.
Well, neither of us has been to Baja California or Cabo specifically before. Grace is taking a little sip of tequila as we speak. How is it?
It's great. It's awesome. I was just going to be sipping while we're on the podcast, but if you want a full review.
It's this bottle. It came with our room, actually.
It's a complimentary bottle that came with the room, and I wanted to try it. They recommend trying it with these little fruit candies with chili powder, which I'm going to do. And if you know me, then you might know that tequila and mezcal are my favorite spirits, which is funny because they used to actually be my least favorite spirits when I was abusing alcohol in college. That was actually the stuff I would avoid. But now I really love it, so I'm really enjoying the drinks here, and they gave us a free bottle. It'd be rude not to partake.
And I can't help
you. And you can't. You and Splice are not helpful at all, so I gotta front that load.
Yeah. We're just having the best time, like Grace said. If you're not familiar with the concept of a baby moon, it's kind of like a honeymoon, but you do it before. So like with a wedding, typically you go after the wedding. I actually know some people that have gone on their honeymoon before the wedding, if the timing...
That is weird to me.
Why?
I understand taking maybe a couple's trip before the wedding because there's a lot of stress leading up to some weddings. I'm sure some of you are listening and are like, we had a stress-free wedding. Congratulations. But there's a lot of stress for many people leading up to a wedding. So I understand taking like a couple's trip, but the honeymoon before the wedding?
Well, I think it just depends on the person. Like, I have a friend who has been with his partner for over 10 years. And at the beginning of their relationship, they, like, couldn't legally get married. And, I mean, they've been together at least, like, 15.
Yes, they're gay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've been together at least 15 years.
You do remember that when gay people couldn't get married?
I mean, they still can't in some places, some parts of the world.
That's true.
But anyway,
it just feels so recent.
He's been married, or he's been
for
with
here, for
his...
For this country.
Yes, it does. He's been with his partner 15 years, and they, for a while, they obviously couldn't get married, and then they kind of felt like, we don't want to participate in that institution that excluded us, so we don't even care. But now they are on the precipice of, like, maybe having a kid or going down that path, figuring that all out. And I guess they want to be legally married. So they're doing a wedding and everything this fall. But the best time for them to take a honeymoon was before. And he's like, I'm excited for the wedding. But it's also, like, kind of this big joke with all our friends and family of, like, oh, they're getting married. Like, we've been together 15 years.
Sure.
So he's doing the honeymoon before the wedding. And I think it's great. That's when it works for them.
I guess, and I think I'm just spitballing here. I think maybe there's different strokes for different folks is what I'm hearing.
That's a good life lesson.
I should write that down.
Yeah.
I should put that on a poster somewhere that people
bumper
can
sticker.
Put in a dentist's office or something.
Yeah. So anyway, a honeymoon, usually after the wedding, not always. A baby moon is, I would say, actually always before you have the baby. Because the whole point is, it's like one last trip where you don't have a child.
Yes.
Although I know people who've also taken a little baby moon for like a second kid, where it's like a special trip away just for the parents.
I've been really believing in marking of chapters. We've been talking about this a lot in our personal life and to friends and stuff, just recognizing when a chapter is closing and trying to honor that time. And I was, when I first heard about a baby moon, I just thought it was so sort of, I don't know, maybe not important. I didn't get it. I was very far from being in a position where we would be talking about having a kid. So it just, to me, felt like another excuse for a trip, which who cares? Go on a trip. Life is short. Like, I was never like a hater of baby moons, but it did feel to me as like just an excuse to get away.
Sure. It kind of is, but.
Of course. But now that we're here and we carved out this time to do this, I'm realizing that yes, it's an excuse for a trip to Cabo and to drink mezcal and tequila and have fun. Both of us drinking a lot of mezcal and tequila, both equally drinking tequila and mezcal, my 25-year-old pregnant wife. But then there's the other part of it that is, I really like having this time, me and you, the way that it's been for about 10 years, talking about, getting excited about, having all these conversations about the new life that we're bringing into our world, and having intentional, removed time to do that.
Yeah.
Not just at home, same old routine that I love so much, not only on our dog walks, which is definitely another time when we do this, but we're in this beautiful part of the world enjoying incredible food and, again, so much tequila and mezcal between the two of us equally.
Please, no one think that this is being serious.
And talking about the end of this chapter and the beginning of a new and exciting one. It just feels sort of ceremonial in some way, which is something that our doula has also told us we should be thinking about ways of bringing in new life and welcoming new life.
The rituals around all of that.
The rituals of it. And I never would have, I think just because when I understood rituals and traditions, it was always within this very rigid, guarded Christian context that I was never that interested in it. And now I really feel like we're carving our own way and finding things that work and feel good for us and our future family. And that is awesome. So I'm having a wonderful baby moon drinking all the tequila with you together.
I am too. It's been a really, really nice trip. And neither of us have, well, actually, we've both been to Mexico, but neither of us has been to this part of Mexico. And we've never been to Mexico together. I've actually been to Mexico a bunch, but I've been to Cancun, Chiapas, Yucatan, like other parts. I've just never been to the west coast of Mexico.
Yeah, we are on the coast.
Oh yeah, we're like right on, we're hugging the water. But I initially, when I thought about a baby moon, like in the last few years, because honestly, as soon as we were back from our honeymoon, I was like, I can't wait to take our baby moon. Also, we've taken a lot of really great just vacations. You don't have to have a moon. You can just have a vacation.
It's possible. And hear us out here. It's possible to travel just to do it.
It is.
We support that.
But I love the idea of like going all out and really treating yourself kind of, you can do that just because. But for me, I like it to, I like the idea that I'm like marking an occasion, kind of like you were saying. And for a long time, I had thought we would go to Japan. That was always like kind of my dream baby moon destination. Although it also isn't ideal if you're avoiding raw fish. I understand some people don't avoid raw fish in pregnancy, and to each their own. But I am, for the most part, or for the whole part, I don't think I've had any raw fish. Not because, just out of an overabundance of caution. I don't like to personally like skirt the line just because I feel like it takes away the enjoyment. Like even people that are like, oh, it's okay to have one glass of wine. I'm like, well, if I do that though, I'm the whole time going to be worried that it's not okay. Or I'm going to be like, well, how big was the glass? Was it really actually a glass and a half? Like I just, all of those things, even with raw fish, I feel like I won't really like enjoy my sushi if I'm worried about it. So I'm just not doing any of it because I don't see the point for me because I won't enjoy it because I'll be worried. And also like obviously some things like alcohol are also recommended to not have. So I'm also not doing it for medical recommendations. But anyway, Japan, I always wanted to go. Neither of us has been. We've always talked about that as like a dream destination. But then when this ended up being the year that I'm pregnant and we're having a baby,
life comes at you fast when there's a baby on the way,
yes,
huh?
Life comes at you fast. And I realized that we had this big Scandinavia trip and Finland trip coming up. And I didn't see how we could really do like Japan the way I would want to do Japan, which is like a couple weeks and 2 weeks in Finland and Sweden. it's just not realistic, like with work and...
You're so far from our goal of becoming travel influencers. Yeah. And so that was not in the cards for us. It probably is, though, for some people, if their job is travel sure. influencing, then that's all they do.
Some people travel full time.
Yeah.
It's awesome. But it's also, I love
our life right now.
I love being home too. So anyway, once I realized we're going to do this Finland, Sweden trip, which it was kind of like more of our baby moon in a way, just in the sense of it was like our last really big, like 2 week vacation before mm-hmm. having a baby. And it was absolutely lovely, but it was also like, we were going to a friend's wedding. We went on a camping trip with friends. We were like staying with people. It wasn't exactly a baby moon in the sense of like just going all out and pampering yourself and like getting massages, which is what we did today. And so I knew like I want to have one more little getaway.
A pampering
sort of yeah. trip that's just the two of us where we don't really have an agenda. We're just kind of like getting some great meals, sleeping in. I slept like over 10 hours last night.
Yeah.
And I realized, let's go to Cabo. I've never been. I've always heard about it. It's a 2 hour flight from LA. It was 2 hours and 2 minutes.
I love it here.
It's so nice.
We have been so fortunate to go to places this year, in the last like year and a half, mm-hmm. that truly radicalized me to just like really loving life and the world and how beautiful this place is. And just feeling really lucky that we have friends who are from Finland who are getting married. We get to go there and our yeah. friends are in Sweden and like looking out at a Swedish sunset, like what the hell? And then even in Italy and the thing that you always see on postcards, like the houses on like the cliffs and everything. And you're there, you're right there. And like these places are real. And Cabo is a place I've always heard about. You know, you always hear people going here, and I had been to Mexico before, but only like driving distance. So we drove. And this is just something so exceptional, and like looking at the coastline and the view. And I'm just so happy that we've gotten to travel so much in this next year. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel in my heart so ready for what I think is going to be welcome stillness, mm-hmm. and creating a whole new routine for our baby. That makes me like, I'm ready for that because of like all this upheaval and traveling and moving. Like I think when the baby gets here, the stillness of it all, that pace of life, how everything's really going to change, I just feel really excited.
Yeah, me too. It's going to be a big change. And whenever we talk about like, oh, when I'm on maternity leave, it's going to be so nice. And I'm sure people are like, you are ready. You are going to get rocked. Like, what do you mean it's going to be nice? Listen, I know my world is going to be rocked. Like, I know that, and I am aware of how I'm not aware, if that makes sense. Like, I realize that it's going to be harder than I can even imagine, but I'm ready to, like, be in the newborn bubble. That's what I mean when I say, like, I think maternity leave is going to be, like, so good for the soul, is really, like, ruthlessly protecting our peace. Not going on trips as much as I love travel. Travel requires sacrifice in some ways. It takes, like, you have to take time off work. It costs money, which I know everything with a baby also costs money. But it's just, you have to take time off work. You have to figure it out. You have to wake up early and get to the airport. And you have to figure out where your passport is and deal with lost luggage if that happens to you, which it did. We did not check a bag on this trip because I'm traumatized yeah. from the last time I checked a bag. But anyway, travel. Social gatherings every weekend, it feels like, which I'm so grateful for, but sometimes you just want a weekend at home. And work, which I will be very, very lucky to not have to worry about for several months. And all those things, like just stopping and letting you be in that newborn bubble, is something I'm really excited for.
Yeah. An expression we've been saying is, let the baby be the baby.
Yeah.
We're big on just like, there's all these like expectations you realize that we sort of place on newborns or like newcomers to the world, and we're really trying to just like let the baby be the baby, figure out the baby's routine.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling we have a night owl. That's fine. That's where I come in, baby. The EP is called Night Aches, not Morning View. I've never seen it. I don't know what that is. By the way, Night Aches, my new EP, does come out on September 15th. There will be more in-depth stuff coming out about that, but that's for a different episode.
It's so good.
Thank you so much for listening to the teaser of Be Like Jesus that somehow, mercifully, got picked up by the Instagram Reels algorithm.
Hell yeah.
Very happy to have those new staff members with us. Thank you so much. Also, this is the last I'll just do a few plugs. This episode is brought to you by me, by Semler Industries. And
Semler Inc.
Semler Inc.
That's the name of your company.
It is true. It is called Semler Inc., Semler Incorporated. Mm-hmm. And the shirts that say Semler and Semler Staff, those will only be available until the end of summer, which I believe is September 22nd.
Yeah. I think September 22nd is the first day of fall.
Yeah.
It's around there.
So I'll put out some reminders on social media and stuff. But if you're listening here and you're interested in getting any of your Semler merch, there's just 2 weeks left to do that before we wave farewell to what has been a really wonderful summer. And I thank you all for your support. Now let's get back into today's episode of Under Our Roof.
Thanks for that ad break.
Yeah, very, very generous. We're so thankful for our sponsors at Semler Inc. Lady, we wanted to talk today about why we started the podcast, or one of the reasons that got us jokingly talking about we could do a podcast.
Yes. Okay, so side note, this fall is our 3-year anniversary on this podcast, which is wild.
Cut it out.
But we started it in 2020. We were like deep in the stay-at-home orders in LA County. We basically didn't go anywhere for months and months. Even though that time was super hard, there are some things about it that like I think fondly on, mostly because we were extremely lucky and privileged and blessed to not have COVID during that time, and we were lucky that we weren't contending with illness or anything. So while we were staying at home, we had a lot of fun like trying out different things, and we would have these really, really long conversations, and we would get into like a mode where we would just be kind of gossiping or going like ruminating on something and basically beating a subject to death, but like loving like just talking about things for hours together when we were stuck at home. And we would always joke. We had joked also before even COVID, but I feel like it was intensified during those few months from like March to September, October, because that's when we decided to start the podcast and launched it. Or we had joked for a while saying we should start a podcast. Like, this is our podcast.
Or basically, no, we would have a conversation where we would dig into something and I'd be like, great podcast episode.
Yes,
once we got to a point of conclusion where maybe I would begin with, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
Noticing these patterns, just kind of honestly talking some shit.
And we would talk for like 30 minutes to an hour, and then we'd kind of wrap up and you'd be like, great podcast episode.
Yeah. And then I don't know which one of us was like, do you want to for real do that?
I don't know either.
I don't know.
It might have been me.
I think it was you because it was just sort of around that time of like, I think we started the podcast before I put out Preacher's Kid.
You did. Yeah, we did.
Yeah. So that would make sense of just, what do you want to do with your life? It's like a little bit like things are different for me. My work life changed dramatically overnight. And I do think that starting the podcast gave me a sense of purpose and vision, helped me find more community online. TikTok was such a helpful place for me, and it was a way of continuing that. And also, we've been having these jokes about wanting to bring people into the controlled queer chaos that is our lives at home. But I think our early episodes, if we're being really honest, were so safe.
Oh, yeah.
I think our early episodes, we were terrified. And this is pretty common of any person who creates content on the internet. The first things that you put out there, you're just terrified of being perceived. And I think that's a really healthy inclination.
Yes.
You should be aware.
Yeah, a healthy dose of realizing like, hey, I'm speaking and people will hear this and they might have their own opinions and reactions to what I'm saying, and they're valid.
I'm putting a megaphone to my opinions that is largely unsolicited. Like, there are a few celebrities that you're like, oh, I would love for Jennifer Garner. I'll just say Jennifer Garner started a podcast. I'd be like, I think people have kind of been asking for that one. Like, I'd love to hear her takes on motherhood, on parenting, on acting.
Yeah.
Great. But for us, we are not celebrities. And so there is that awareness of like, we don't know anything. Like, we don't know anything. Why are we getting on a soapbox in the middle of Times Square and telling people about our marriage and our views on? I mean, I would edit those episodes to high heaven, and I'm going to edit this one as well, but not the way that I used to.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the early stuff that you do becomes sort of unwatchable or unlistenable because you learn and you grow, and that's what you should do. But now we've learned and grown enough that I feel comfortable to bring you into one of the patterns that we would discuss that became a podcast episode because we knew so many people that fit this pattern.
It became an unrecorded podcast episode.
Unrecorded.
We would say, like, great podcast episode.
Yeah.
But now you're going to know what the subject was. And yeah, the reason we thought of this is because of something that happened on the way here to Cabo.
To Cabo. You wouldn't believe it. We were standing in... There's no way this person listens to this, right? Because
there's no way.
Yeah, but she is the type of person... What we're going to talk about is that this is the type of person who would quietly lurk and listen.
I feel like there's no way. Also, I have to say, so it has to do with someone who's queer.
Yeah.
That we saw in the Cabo airport in the customs line, who mm-hmm. we know.
Yeah.
Don't you feel like in that customs line, uh-huh. everyone was gay?
There are a lot of gay people.
A lot of, like...
Cabo is very gay friendly.
Yeah, a lot. Like, everyone in the customs line was gay.
I don't know how to explain this, but if you know, you know. I just felt like my masseuse today was awesome mm-hmm. and was gay friendly.
Yeah.
Just that, like, I don't know how to explain that. There was something about her that was just cool.
Yeah,
she was cool.
Everyone has been extremely cool. And, like, for instance, the massages that we had today, I didn't book them as a couples massage. But as soon as we walked in, they look at us, they're like, do you want a couples room?
Yeah.
Which is so lovely. Like,
it's been very gay rights here.
Yeah, very gay rights. We love
it. So that makes sense because we see this person in line at customs.
Who is this person?
Well, I'm going to explain to the good listeners at home.
Okay.
We're not using names.
I know.
Yeah, this is going to be Sarah Waterbottle is her name. Sarah Fruit.
I like Sarah Waterbottle.
Sarah Waterbottle. Yeah. Her name is Sarah Waterbottle. We're standing in line at customs, and I see someone. It's almost like, you know, maybe you refer to it as gaydar, but for me, it means something different. Like, it's not about, like, telling if people are gay, or mostly it's just, like, sensing if there are other gay people in the room.
Yeah.
Like, that is my gaydar. Not, like, looking at people up and down and being, like, straight or gay. It's just sensing, like, a little sonar if there are gay people around. And my sonar was pinging for whatever reason. And I'm looking at this, at the back of this head of this girl's head, the back of the head of this girl, and at her back head. And I'm like, I know this person. I know Sarah Waterbottle. Like, I've seen her before. And I placed it. Mm-hmm. She was the situationship of a friend of ours, a current friend of ours
yeah.
from college.
Someone we've known for a long time.
Someone we've known, loved, friend of the pod. Not been on the pod, but is friend of the pod,
yeah.
right? And was 1,000% the situationship.
Someone's knocking on our
door. We gotta pause. We'll be right back with you. Stay with us. We're gonna play some new Semler music for you to jam out to until we're right back. I'm so cool. I'm so cool. Ain't it cool to be this cool? Welcome back to Under Our Roof. So, we're there at customs. I recognize Sarah Waterbottle, our friend's situationship. And the reason why this situationship was something that Lizzie and I had talked about was because Sarah Waterbottle fell into a very unique pattern that we had observed with queer women and social media and closeting in our lifetimes.
Yes.
There were a few, a little bit of a checklist that we'd established. Huh, there are multiple people. Actually, I think all of them are from North Carolina. No?
Really?
Don't you think? We knew them all through North Carolina.
No, what about...
Southern through... Oh my God, no, you're right. Florida. So...
No, I'm thinking of another person from Texas.
Well, there you go.
All southern states.
Well, I mean, that would make sense because southern states have been historically less accepting of queer people. So, I guess where do we begin with?
Okay, I'll try to explain.
Yeah.
So
this trope.
This is a pattern we have noticed. I am saying that because I don't want anyone to say, I haven't noticed that, or to be offended because what we're describing, you're like, well, that describes me, but the conclusion that you're reaching isn't me.
Mm-hmm.
That is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a pattern that we have facts mm-hmm. to back up. Mm-hmm. So just...
We have multiple examples.
Yes.
And other many queer examples. People that we've spoken to as well have other examples of people who
yes.
fall into this little category.
So this is the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Closeted queer women mm-hmm. who are on social media mm-hmm. and they're extremely private. They basically never post anything, but they see everything. They're extremely
online.
They're
very online, but you'd never know it.
Well, you'd see that they're watching your story, maybe.
Yeah, you might see that unless they have a burner.
They might have a burner, which that we don't know. Like, mm-hmm. that's speculation because I don't know for sure. But
well, I know some people who, I'll say the name because I'll bleep it out, mm-hmm. has an Instagram account that is effectively a burner
yeah.
because it is, like, there's just the default profile
it
image.
It doesn't identify her at all.
It doesn't identify, but it is her name.
You know it's her.
Definitely her. Mm-hmm. It's definitely her. And she follows, like, 3 or 4 people. Mm-hmm. That's effectively a Finsta, but is seeing the posts of multiple people.
Yes. So basically,
like, why are you bopping around watching stuff of mine on YouTube and telling me about it? That's weird.
Right. We have seen a pattern of people that, like, we know for a fact to be closeted that are lurking a lot on social media and, like, kind of know everything that's up with everyone, mm-hmm. but then they never post anything about themselves, whether even, like, something innocuous, like, this is my dog, this is what mm-hmm. I have for lunch, here's my latte art, nothing, like, mm-hmm. nothing. They, or maybe once a year they'll do a photo dump of, like,
usually, yeah, that's the exception, really, once a year.
Yeah, like a really cryptic kind of photo dump with, like, a really kind of vague
from a
caption.
Friend's wedding.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or from some kind of a trip.
Some sort of occasion that an outside person would not think of as gay at all or queer at all. Like, you can post from, like, your sister's wedding, and people from home who will mm-hmm. never know that you're queer, should you not want them to, and nobody needs to come out if they don't want to, mm-hmm. would not have any more of an idea about you
yes,
from that.
Totally. And
very, like, what's the opposite of not safe for work? Like, very, like, safe for work Instagram
yeah,
presence.
For sure.
To minimal.
And they'll go, like, months where you just don't see anything from them at all, but then you'll mention something or, like, talk to them if you know them in person, and it'll become clear that, like, they know everything.
They know.
If anyone posts anything on their story, they've seen it. Mm-hmm. Like, they keep tabs on everyone online, but they don't let themselves be perceived at all on social media. And there's been people that I've noticed this pattern about that I didn't know were queer that I later have found out were.
Yes.
That's what, and my spidey sense starts to go up when I see someone that has this online behavior. I'm like, oh, they're probably gay.
Now, here's the other twist in this as well. Hmm. A lot of the people that we're speaking of are from the South. So I think that's somehow related and would fall into traditional femininity as is
yes.
prescribed in the South.
100% actually.
So that has been another part of the pattern.
I
that
don't
it's
know
like,
any examples of someone that doesn't sort of subscribe
no.
to traditional femininity.
Yeah. It's all sort of like St. Mary's type looking girls, whatever that means.
That probably doesn't mean much to a lot
That's
of people.
That's where Lizzie
listening.
Went to school.
That's the
North
all-girls
Carolina.
School that I attended.
But you know what I mean? They're all like St. Mary's type girls, some more literally than others, that then go real private. And maybe yeah. have a LinkedIn, but it might not be
a
current.
LinkedIn.
Maybe have a LinkedIn. That is where LinkedIn, or I've also found Etsy shops where you kind of, for that mm-hmm. type of a thing where it's business oriented, you do need to share more, and it'll be bare bonesy share stuff.
Yeah.
And I think we should all be aware of our digital footprint. I think, to be honest, I written a song about this recently. I'm mortified at how much of me is on the internet from my 20s. Bad idea. I wouldn't recommend it to a person who didn't know themselves to put yourself online. I think that when you know and you get right with yourself, and people can do that at varying ages, ideally I would recommend being on the older rather than younger side, but try to know yourself before you post yourself. And if you don't do that, then you wind up with a very, very embarrassing digital footprint with just bizarre takes and bad haircuts.
Are you speaking of yourself?
I am absolutely speaking of myself. So I know I'm the polar opposite of the pattern that we're speaking of. Mm-hmm. But for them, I think there can be a healthier balance of, like, connecting with loved ones and
yeah.
with people. And I remember even when I met Sarah Waterbottle as our friend's situationship. Our friend prepared us of, like, there's something with this girl. I don't know what it is. There's always been this tension.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you know the vibes, like the homoerotic friendship to the moon.
It ended up being more than just tension, though, for them.
Yes,
like,
that's correct.
Like, they hooked up for a long time.
No. Not with the friend I'm thinking of.
Wait, not with Sarah Waterbottle?
Sarah Waterbottle and did not hook up.
What?
No, they never did.
Wait. What?
They never did.
I feel like that's not true.
They didn't. I swear you, they did not hook up.
Okay, well,
Sarah Waterbottle got... Wait, did... What do you know?
I don't know anything, but I thought they were, like, sleeping together.
No.
To the point that I once stood with Sarah Waterbottle.
No.
I didn't say anything necessarily, but, like, I once... We were at an event. We were at, like, a show. And you and our friend that we're still friends with were, like, going to the bar or something. And Sarah Waterbottle and I were left, like, standing at the show, like, watching the performance.
Right.
And we were, like, chit-chatting. And I was chit-chatting with her in the sort of girl talk type of way.
Yeah, you're good at that. You're a real girl's girl.
Yeah, of someone who assumed that we're both sleeping with our partners who just left to go get us drinks at the bar. I had no idea that they weren't. I feel
what?
I'm so confused.
Well, I guess at that time, that was part of the situationship. I understand why you would have gotten that confused, because the vibes from Sarah Waterbottle to our friend were confusing. But no, they never hooked up.
What?
They never hooked up.
Wait, I feel like our friend would reference, like, sleeping over at Sarah Waterbottle's place.
They would.
What?
But nothing happened.
Oh, my God. How long did this go on for?
I don't know. But then Sarah Waterbottle ended up dating her best friend, effectively. What? That's the relationship you did know about.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
How are you confusing these two people? What we can conclude is that
Sarah Waterbottle has, like, well, and she appeared to be with a girl at the Cabo Customs Airport.
Oh, she's very gay.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure that I don't know if she's out. Uh-huh. I do not know if she's out. Not that it matters. Anyone can wear this, but she was wearing a cream-colored rainbow knit sweater. It's very like you could wear that to St. Mary's or something, and like no one would think
that
of
you're
it.
Announcing your
yeah,
day.
You wouldn't be like, I'm not like, it's very like soft launchy type, like if you know, you know type thing, but it wasn't like a Target Pride section sweater.
No.
Sadly. Because I don't mean, you want to see everyone happy, but there's still something, it's like the repression.
Okay, yeah.
It's like a energy, like pick up on it. My gaydar goes off for that sort of like repressed gay type of energy.
Yeah. Also, okay, now I'm like piecing things together. Now, I think the night that we were at that show and I was talking to Sarah Waterbottle, I think I knew that she was like dating that other girl we know.
The performer.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I remember because we left that show, and as we were leaving, we were like, because we'd known Sarah Waterbottle during the situationship, and it was like kind of messy, bad news, odd energy.
Yeah.
Whenever there's like a closeted situationship, homoerotic friendship thing, I can tell you firsthand, it's a weird spot to be in, and it was weird energy. So as we knew at that show, she was definitely seeing a person there openly.
Okay.
As openly as she could, I think, be. Like, not on social media, probably not to her friends at home, but, like, within the friend group, I think that people knew.
Yeah.
And I remember leaving with you and being like, wow, like, they seem to be doing really well. Like, she seemed to be doing well. I'm happy that they're easing into what it could be like to be together more openly. Like, they seem really happy and we're rooting for them. Whereas before, to be honest, I was not rooting for Sarah Waterbottle because our friend was very confused.
Okay, this makes me feel better because I was like, I thought you were, for some reason, I forgot about Sarah Waterbottle dating the second friend of ours.
Dating the second friend makes it seem like she was dating the first friend.
I know,
which, to be clear, she was not.
Okay, that I got confused.
She did a lot of confusing stuff with the first friend and then would be like, I'm definitely not gay, though.
But did you tell the first friend that we saw Sarah Waterbottle yesterday?
I did.
What did the first friend respond?
Yes.
What'd she say?
She said, that's crazy. Yeah, she has a new girlfriend. What are the odds type thing?
Interesting.
I don't think that they're in each other's lives at all.
Yeah.
And that is the sort of person, that this pattern of person, they will never speak to you again.
Yeah.
And that can be a benefit. This is not the type of person that is going to come out of the woodwork. Like, when you are gone from their life, you are totally gone.
You're free.
You are free in some ways.
Yeah.
And I would hope in time, if they want, that they too could be free from, I think, a pretty stifling existence. Because it still is like needing to be palatable for the straight environment, the heteronormative environment that they grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it hard to be your full self and to be all in a relationship if you aren't willing to kind of put yourself out there in that way. not impossible. Everyone can do whatever they want.
Yes.
Nothing is impossible. Adidas said that, and I agree with it.
Can do all things through Christ. You can do all things
through Christ who strengthens you. Yeah, we can take a real St. Mary's approach to it. You can do all things through Christ.
St. Mary's wasn't actually that religious, but that's a podcast for another day.
Well, that's probably why you're gay.
All right.
On that note, thank you so much for listening to this episode. Please feel free to write to us at underourrooffpod@gmail.com if you have noticed this pattern, hated this entire episode, or were interested to learn more about the pattern and what we should name it. Probably Sarah Waterbottle.
Oh, yeah.
Probably any person who falls into this category would become a Sarah Waterbottle. Mm-hmm. And if you're listening, maybe you know a few. And just give them a toast. Give them a cheers. Drink some tequila in their honor. You know that Lizzie and I both will be doing that as soon as we hang up the phone with y'all.
I've been doing it on the podcast. No, this is such a bad, dumb joke. I'm not drinking.
It's a very bad bit. We're very sorry. We are having a nice time in Mexico, and we thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time for a brand new episode of the show that we go
under our roof
and shining more brightly each day. I love you, I love you, I love you, my dear, in a sweet, old-fashioned way. My love for you is constant and new, no matter the change or